Lord, you are good and your mercy enduring forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy enduring forever. People from every nation have come, from generation to generation, we worship you.
April 30th. I know it's a little ways away, but I'm going to keep saying it. April 30th, 2 o'clock at the Davenport University location in Grand Rapids. Don't need any tickets, so if you want to support, just make sure you roll out to Grand Rapids, Davenport University, April 30th, 2 o'clock on Sunday. Alright? Let's see. Don't forget to check our church website. You want to pay tithes, offerings, do whatever you need to do. I saw a prayer list.
It's coming.
It's coming.
You can.
Come here.
Hit the button.
Yeah, I don't want to.
She said, I don't know who.
It's a head, that's alright.
I don't want to. Okay, there we go. Okay, so you guys see that list up there. So we have, don't forget, of course, Rayfield Rogers, Doris Gaither, Sheila's brother Dwayne, all the MSU kids. That was really close to home. That was really scary. So just keep them lifted in prayer. Birthdays, all right. Pastor Jonathan Tate had his birthday on the 1st. She's celebrating her birthday on the 7th. She'll be 22. Amir will also be celebrating his birthday on the 7th. He'll be 19. Jaylin is going to be celebrating her birthday on the 8th. James McClendon is going to be on the 10th. And Deaconess Rodgers is going to be on the 2nd.
The offering basket will be made past. So bring your halves and offerings to the storehouse during this time. And also we're preparing our hearts for communion. So if you would stand. Come on, y'all been sitting with families. Since I've come. Just for us all, does everyone have communion cups? You don't, raise your hand so we can get you one. This is group participation. But the thing about this group participation is exclusive. But it is also inclusive.
At the same time.
It's exclusive because the ones who know about the Jesus who saved us and gave his life for us, this is our reminder of what he's done for us. But for those that don't know, this is an opportunity to recognize and know who this Jesus is and what he's done for us. Because if you look around you, you are surrounded by other people that sin just as much as you do. And have sinned, and will sin. When we come together, remember, it is not because we are getting better. It is because he was the best. Amen. See, he was the perfect lamb.
Yes.
He was without blemish. So he could give his body as a sacrifice for us. Take and eat. And his blood was the only blood that could shut down the sacrificial system. I say that again. His blood was the only blood that could shut down the sacrificial system.
Yes, amen. Yes.
And he shed it for us. Take and drink. And all God's people say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. And you may be seated.
Oh,
Son of God, Almighty King, precious Jesus. We will lift one voice and sing.
Pastor,
is going to continue on in his teaching in the book of 1 Corinthians. This is part 4. And he's asked me to read from chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. So again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. So look at Apollos and me as mere servants of Christ who have been put in charge of explaining God's mysteries. Now, a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. As for me, it matters very little how I might be evaluated by you or any human authority. I don't even trust my own judgment on this point. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't prove I'm right. It is the Lord himself who will examine me and decide. So don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time before the Lord returns. For he will bring our darkest secrets to light, and we reveal our private motives. Then God will give to each one whatever praise is due. Dear brothers and sisters, I have used Apollos and myself to illustrate what I've been saying. If you pay attention to what I've quoted from the scriptures, you won't be proud of one of your leaders at the expense of another. For what gives you the right to make such a judgment? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it were not a gift? This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. Wow. Did you notice the tone of those scriptures? I kind of feel like we're about to get put in our place this morning. But isn't that a good thing? We must recognize that this Christian walk is real. It's not sugar and spice and everything nice. We are caught up in a war, so we need to ensure that we're armored up. And this precious word of God is the one weapon we have got to go on the offense against forces of darkness. God has entrusted us in the hands of a shepherd who not only does spiritual battle for us, but as with today, shows us how to play too. I feel like today's going to be one of those messages like medicine. We may be resistant to taking it, but the benefits are overwhelming. And see how God is? Pastor Oak gets to come and deliver that message to us face to face. Thank you, Pastor Oak, for listening to God and being brave to give it to us straight. Everyone, please repeat this after me. Braveheart, Pastor O.
Braveheart, Pastor O.
Break it down for us.
Break it down for us.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. I forgot to turn my mic on. Amen. Ooh, Jesus. How's everybody doing this morning? Well, I think I'm just going to preach this right here. Oh, that's the responsible reading. Amen. It's rolled down. I can see, wow, this is nice. This is real nice. Yeah, I can call out the people who are falling asleep. Can't hide, ain't gonna have a spot. Amen. This is nice, amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Father, we thank you for this opportunity once again to be in person, so that we can do what your word says. You said, gather yourselves together and forsake doing that. But Father, you know that we were put in a position where we had no choice. But we thank you for allowing us to switch right over to Blog Talk Radio. And now, Father, until our place of worship gets fixed, you have found us a place to worship. Amen. Father, I want to thank you that when the call went out, Pastor Dennis Tate heard the call. And then you went to her and spoke to her. And then she went to Alice and spoke to her. And then she went and spoke to the folks in charge. And then Jonathan got involved in representation of the executive board and the finance committee. And then Deacon Charles Tate said, yeah, I know that place. I opened it close, but I know it all, got all the keys. So Jesus, we thank you that you put all of these people in place before we even needed this place. We thank you that you are so far out in front of us. Lord, help us to see that we ain't got nothing to worry about. Before this day got here, you were here. Yeah. You prepared all of this. So I ask you to especially bless those who you used in your service to provide this place for us. Lord, bless this people and bless this word that you gave me for them to feed on. And may they feed on it, eat it up, and it become a great nourishment to their spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me. I can actually hear somebody say something other than Baby Holy Ghost. Baby Holy Ghost be helping me out when we at the crib. Amen. She be the whole church. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So they hear your word today.
So they hear your word today.
And bless my heart.
And bless my heart.
Lord, receives your word today.
Lord, receives your word.
Because I acknowledge to you
that
my ways and my thoughts
are
not always like yours. I am here today
to
change the way I think. So I can always know
what
you're good.
My life is.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. It's nothing like being in person. You know, I love Blog Talk Radio. I love putting on my church shirt and in my pajamas. Amen. You know, one thing I gotta stop doing is when I do my Zoom counseling, they see my nice counseling shirt, right? Then I stand up because I gotta leave the room for a minute. Jesus said, well, you're just like in your pajamas, okay? Amen. Well, it's nice. It's comfortable. I was able to have notes. You know, I didn't have to memorize a whole chapter, and in this case, four chapters, but amen. The Holy Spirit's job is what? Bring to my remembrance whatever we talked about one-on-one. Amen. So he wants me to share some of that with you. If you've been following us, we're in the book of 1 Corinthians, and you know that I've been preaching through the epistles. We started with Galatians, then we went to James because they were both written first in AD 49, and then Thessalonians followed them, right, and right around 50, and so now we're up to AD 55, so that puts us in Corinth, right? And so we're going chronologically by these books, right? And so we've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians, and we found out that it was Paul who wrote the book to them. He planted this church in AD 50. It is now AD 55. And this is now his second letter to them. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you'll see where Paul said, in my letter to you. That tells us that 1 Corinthians is really 2 Corinthians. And if you read 2 Corinthians, he'll tell you he wrote another letter. So 2 Corinthians would be 3 Corinthians, and what we have is 4 Corinthians. So we have really 2 and 4 Corinthians. We don't have the other two letters that he wrote. Why? The Lord didn't want us to have it. They never made it into the scripture canon. And if God wanted us to have it, trust me, it would have been in the 27 documents that Athanasius put together with his group, amen, that we call the New Testament. It would have been in there. But because it's not, and we don't have it, he didn't intend for us to have it. And let's face it, we have enough trying to deal with what he did
right.
Get. Amen? We don't need no running around looking for no extras or trying to read between the lines. It's enough on the line for us to do. Amen? And we see, I'm still struggling with what's on the line. People are like, you got to read between the lines. I'll get there when I get this. Amen? Paul is with his boy Sosthenes. Okay, so, you know, I think it's Jim Rogers. Crystal, I think you call me Inspector Gadget and Sherlock Holmes and all of that. Well, let's do some investigation. Let's do some research. How do we place all these people? Because the problem in the church at Corinth is division. The biggest problem is spiritual immaturity. Spiritual immature Christians act all kinds of crazy all the time. Why? Because they're saved, but they're not filled with the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Being saved is one thing. All you got to do, amen, preacher, is confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen?
Amen.
And you in. But wasn't it Latrice Jackson that told us that salvation is what?
Free.
But every step after that going what?
Cost you.
And so what they failed to do in the church at Corinth, and Paul noted in chapter 1 that they have all the gifts from God. They have everything they need from God. In Jim's class on Monday nights, one of the passages that we looked at in chapter 1 talked about we have everything, and you know Pastor Janice Tate taught us that some time ago, that we have everything we need to live holy lives for Jesus, right?
Right.
But what happens when we don't access those things? Remember, this church is now 5 years old. And they're still acting like they're 1 year old. Okay? When Ant's son is around here running around like he is, that's because what? He's a kid, right? But if he get Amir's age and he's still running around here, then amen, then something's funny with that, right? So the Corinthians were suffering from immaturity. It was stopping them from moving forward. A lady went to visit their church named Chloe, and when she got there, she found out, Marissa, that there was some stuff going on in there that she felt like, I ain't trying to snitch on nobody, but I need to go where Paul is and talk to him, because these people over here has got them off the chain. And as we get past to chapter 5 and 6 and to the rest of the book, you'll see even worse behavior. But right now, he's dealing with division in the church. Why? Because Satan's move is always to divide and conquer. If he can come in and sow discord among the brethren, then the brethren are tore up. How many of y'all remember in Genesis chapter 6, the Lord let loose some knowledge that the earth didn't have? A new revelation came out. And that revelation was, when we become one, we can't be stopped. The Lord said, the man has become like us. What does like us mean? One. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one. And guess what God said? Literally, he said, and nothing that they even imagine to do will be impossible to them. At this point, they're trying to build an oculus up into the sky. They don't have no knowledge of atmospheric pressure. It gets so high up, they hit pop. But they don't know that. And so they're building an oculus. And instead of repopulating the earth, they're trying to, amen, co-hooped up in one place, you know, like we do in the church. We love to come to church. We just hate to go out in the world and tell people about Jesus. We love to come to church, but we just help helping people in or outside the body of Christ. But we love to come to church. We love to sing Zion songs, amen? But we just hate doing the work, amen? So Paul is trying to root out this problem so they can move forward. You know that we can even be divided in ourselves. You know, I think I'm gonna do this. No, I ain't gonna do that. I think I'm gonna go over here. No, I don't really feel like going over there. You know, I was gonna go down. We're divided in ourselves, and a house divided against itself cannot do what?
Same.
And isn't this the house where the Holy Spirit resides?
Yeah.
Amen. So he is trying to root that problem out. He has recognized that the devil is trying to stifle this church, stifle their lives by keeping them split up. Amen. You want to stop something? Remember when Paul got arrested that time? Well, one of them times he got arrested a lot. Amen. And this is, I believe, around Acts 20, 23, somewhere in there, when he had to go back to court. And he noticed in the room that there were Sadducees and there were Pharisees. Now, they were attacking him. They were ready to do something with him, to take him out. But Lisa, he looked around the room and saw them Sadducees over there and the Pharisees over there. And he said, brothers, looking at the Pharisee, I'm in this position because I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Pharisees believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but the Sadducees didn't. The Sadducees only believed in the first 5 books of Moses, and they didn't know a whole lot. So they were sad, you see. So what Paul did, amen, that's a real old Baptist joke, amen. So what Paul did is throw that out there, and what happened? They started fighting with each other. They took their mind off him and started fighting each other. And so the devil seeks to have you take your mind off Jesus and start fighting each other. Because there's strength in unity, and he knows that. The devil can't tear up a strong church. And when I say church, I'm talking about local, organized congregation of baptized believers and the body of Christ. He has so divided us that we're running around just like they were in this passage that she just read. Okay? In the passage that she just read, some are claiming to follow Peter. Some are claiming to follow Paul. And some say, I'm following Apollos. And some say, well, I'm following Jesus. The problem with that is, what's wrong with following Paul? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me, right? Okay? So there's really nothing wrong with that, except this. Well, I like listening to Elitris, but I don't like listening to Michelle. So y'all ought to come over here with me and not listen to her, but listen to her. And so that's division in the church. They're ascribing to Paul and Peter and Apollos and even Jesus, amen, that one should be over and against the other. So when Paul comes to preach, everybody comes to church, you like Paul. When Peter comes to preach, everybody comes to church, you like Peter. And when Peter and a Paul follower meet up, amen, they fighting with each other. Amen. Why? We see it all the time. Christians, we've got a problem. We are very good at attacking each other. And all you need to do is go on YouTube, and guess what you're going to find out? John MacArthur is the most perfect man on earth. And so God has given him the job of attacking other Christians. Like Bishop T.D. Jakes, he's not saved, according to them. And why is he not saved? Because they say he doesn't believe in the Trinity. He believes God manifests himself in three different persons. Okay? And of course, Joel Osteen going straight to hell. Right? He's going straight to hell. Nobody likes Joel Osteen. He's going straight to hell because he's just too nice. He's too polite. And he always tells you things going to work. I guess he should get up and preach, "You're going to hell. Right. You ain't ever going to get right. Your money going to always be funny. In fact, it's on Comedy Tour right now." You know, that's the way they treat him. But when somebody hate on somebody, I go listen to them myself. And I see that that's what God got them doing. Okay, he don't have me doing it like that. I like John MacArthur. I like Joel Osteen. I like T.D. Jakes. But I don't believe none of them all the way. I'm a Berean. When I hear any of them, I go home and I check the scriptures to see if what they're saying is true. Yes. If they're saying it's true, if it sounds funny to me when they say it, I'll be like, amen. But after I find out they was telling the truth, I'm going to be like, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the Bereans would be like, Well, okay, but then next week there'll be amen to that, not that, amen. But we're becoming so judgmental. You know, Kirk Franklin going to hell, did y'all know that? I didn't know until I got on YouTube. Right. He worships the devil.
Right.
He said the lamb gonna bow down to the goat. I'm like, well, you know, if he's a devil worshiper, he's real bad at it. Because he promotes Jesus a lot. Amen. And we have got to stop judging people after God. Look, righteousness is this. God got me preaching right now. I'm being righteous. I'm being good. I'm in the Lord's will. But catch me in my hot rod out in front of your house, right, Beatrice? I might need some rubber marks. Hey, man, you might see me going down the street saying, was that Reverend O'Brien? I'm going that way. Amen. But if you're preaching now, I'm all that, right? But then when you catch me at the drags, they would say, "Reverend Overall, is that you?" That happened to me. Now, look, I got judged because I was at the drag strip. Pastor Taylor. I guess there's a scripture I ain't read yet that says, "Thou shut my pipe, thy collar up, and go fast." Amen. I haven't just got me a King James version, the same in none of the other versions I read. Okay? "Thou shalt not have a performance of thy vehicle, but burn thou reverest." Amen. I don't even think that's right. Amen. When we're so judgmental of each other. You know what? I listen to them songs. I had to play them on BTR, on Blog Talk Radio, right? So that means Jesus made me hear every word to make sure it's doctrinally correct. If it's inspirational, put it in that, which most all of them are, put them in that category. If it's gospel, which you will rarely find one, put it in that category. If it's just fun music you're going to use when you're working out, because doctrinally it's not all that straight, right? So you go ahead and keep it for yourself, because I can listen to a secular song and warp it into a Jesus song, right? I can do that with jazz and it ain't even no words, right? Okay? But then everything has its place. When I listen to that song, right? I don't care about their personal life. I got nothing to do with it. Ain't nobody perfect, y'all. All right. Ain't nobody perfect. Ain't none of us sitting in here better than the other. Take Jesus out of our lives and stand us next to a bunch of folks on their way to hell. Guess who's going with them? Jesus makes the difference. And that's what Paul is trying to get them to see. Peter is preaching Jesus. Paul is preaching Jesus. Apollos is preaching Jesus. Amen? Of course, Jesus preached Jesus. But somehow, they can't accept Paul because they were Peter. And they can't accept Apollos because they were Jesus. We got those Jesus people today. I see them all the time, Rebecca. They be on Facebook. They be like, Pastor, I ain't got to go to church. Jesus at my house. He live in me. I'm like, so how do you reconcile forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, which is the custom of some of you? How do you reconcile Ephesians chapter 5:4 when it tells us why God gave us pastors? Who will teach us? How do you reconcile Jeremiah 3:15 when I will give you shepherds after my own heart and they shall feed you with the word of God? I always challenge you. Find me a scripture that tells me where Jesus told you not to go to church. I can't find this in the heart. Your heart ain't smart. Amen. Find me a scripture where Jesus told me you don't need to be taught by anybody. And then they say, you don't need nobody to teach you. The Holy Spirit don't teach you. Oh yeah? Well, I gave some to be teachers. I gave some to be pastors and teachers. I guess they're just there, huh? No, maybe the Holy Spirit through them is going to teach you, and the Holy Spirit in you is going to help you to understand. You remember that time when they wasn't getting Jesus? And then the Bible says that he opened their understanding. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. But he's talking about one-on-one, at home, studying your Bible. He is not saying you are preempted from going to Bible class, from going to church. Amen. We need each other. How many of y'all know we're the only people on earth worshiping Jesus as Christians? The Muslims ain't our friends. The world showing up ain't our friends. Amen. The Hindus, they got too many gods to even recognize us as friends. We are the only people we can commiserate with. I can come to you, you can come to me, we can commiserate together and strengthen each other.
Amen.
So we need to meet together. I'm so thankful to God that when Janice heard the call, that she heard his voice.
Yes.
And we're in this place.
Yes.
Amen. We need each other. I didn't know about this place. I didn't know about no place. I just said, Lord, we need a place. Jenny said, I know a place. Amen. We got with my crazy cousin Alice, who's crazy like me, and now we got a place. Amen. All it takes is hooked up in this. Amen. What movement? That was a scary. Jesus. Amen. So Paul is trying to help them get past their divisions, okay? So that they can move forward in their life. They have all the gifts, they have the Holy Spirit, but somehow they've gotten puffed up. Somehow they've allowed themselves to become divided. Amen? And that is something that we have to fight against. That is something that we have to guard against. But all of this, at the root of this, is spiritual immaturity. Amen?
Amen.
And the book that June is teaching now, it literally says that we have everything we need to live a godly life. Okay? In other words, everything we need to live a godly life is available to us. It's not just innate in us. It's available to us. But it's in the Word of God. So Peter says, add to your faith. Add to your belief in Jesus Christ. Add to your acceptance of Christ as your Savior, knowledge.
Yes.
And when you get that knowledge, get some wisdom. And when you get that wisdom, get some perseverance so you can stand the test. Amen?
Yes.
So add these things. These are the things that we absorb and adsorb to our Christian lives.
All right.
We absorb a lot, but it's the adsorb part that we don't get into. We hear a lot, we see a lot, but we don't add to our lives a lot. We don't allow this to become the mind that's in us. Let that mind that was also in Christ Jesus, what? Be in us. That means we need to soak up the word of God, because that's the mind of Jesus. And when we soak up the word of God, amen, it becomes the way we think. It becomes the way we talk. It guards our words. It guards our mouths. When we get ready to speak, we want to know that Jesus is going to be pleased with what's getting ready to come out.
Yes. Amen.
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 We want to be pleased. We want to know that Jesus knows. You know, when Jesus was here, he said, the words that I speak, they're not mine. And if you're in Janet's class learning why we believe what we believe, not just knowing what we believe, but why we believe it, she is laying it out how Christ came here and laid down his prerogatives as God. And he was born by Mary into a human body and lived like we do. And so Jesus then becomes the perfect example of how we're to live this Christian life.
Yes. Yes.
The words that I speak, they used to be mine. They're becoming more his. Notice how I didn't say they are. Amen. I ain't perfect. Some of my words ain't his. Amen. But a lot of my words are becoming his. All my ways are not his. But Romans tells me in chapter 12, verse 2, to be transformed. That means it's a process. How can I change the way I think? I have to read something else to think about. And that's the word of God. But what the devil does is he makes us fall in love with church. And we appease God because we went to church. We gave some tithes and some offerings of one of two. Amen. And God is happy. No. You're going to live forever. And you're not going to be who you are right now forever.
Praise the Lord.
You're going to become a child of God forever. Do you know what it means to be a child of God? Do you know who you are? Do you know whose you are? Do you know your capabilities? When you read the book of Acts, you see Jesus Christ, amen, working through the church by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what you see. And so you have power from God. You hear Dr. Tony Evans talking about the Holy Spirit, if you've been listening. And he calls him the anointing. People misuse that word all the time. One preacher came on television and told me I need to send him $1,000 to support the anointing. I'm like, so the Holy Spirit done got broke. Amen. And he need a loan. He need a hookup. The Holy Spirit need a hookup. So I got to support the anointing.
Right.
Amen. No, the anointing don't need no support. Jesus said, when the anointing comes, guess who he was talking about?
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
When the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to be anointed. You're going to have the power to live for God.
Amen.
But guess what that power is? It's in his word. Amen. Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Amen?
Amen.
So God gave us words. Jesus told us, if you say to this mountain, he didn't say get a bulldoze. He didn't say get some big old giant tractors, earth move. He didn't say use no dynamite to blow it up. Amen? He said, if you say to this mountain, and believe in your heart, and don't doubt. When you say it's going to happen.
Yes.
See, God's trying to teach us how to be like him.
Yes.
He says things. He declares things. I think we just read or sang where God declared it and did it. He declared it and he did it. I declare it before I do it. I think he says in Isaiah, who has spoken before it even happened and then brought it to pass? God does that. You read Isaiah 43, 44, and 45. You see some awesome stuff in there. Amen?
Amen.
So Paul was trying to help them. And at the same time, I thank God for this letter because we have the same problems. Spiritual immaturity. And it keeps you from being who God is turning you into. Jesus said, I'm working on you. He didn't just work on you to get you saved. Jesus is working on us to turn us into who we're going to be forever. Amen?
Amen.
And so spiritual immaturity is affecting this church in all kinds of ways. In chapter 1, they didn't understand where true knowledge comes from, true wisdom comes from. That comes from God. It comes from the Holy Spirit in you. In chapter 2, Paul tried to help them out. He said to them, no mind, no eye has seen, right? No ear has heard, and no mind has imagined. He's talking about unsaved people. He's talking about people without the Holy Spirit. What he is saying is, if you think Apollos and Peter and Paul and even Jesus when he was here was so great, okay, it's the Holy Spirit in them. It's not them. Amen? I love listening to Pastor Janice Tate preaching. When y'all hear me preach, I quote her a lot. I quote Jonathan, I quote all these preachers. Amen? I don't love Terrence more than Jonathan. I love Jonathan more than Janice. Okay? Or Sarah. Amen. With her awesome preaching set. Amen. Oh, y'all got to go hit something. This is unbelievable. I think she's been a preacher a long time, like Jonathan, just ran. Amen. But I love listening to all of them. I love listening to Lucille Anderson. Amen. I love listening to my crazy brother Richard. Go to the spiritual places I wouldn't even go to. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah, same person. You know what? Amen. That's our brother. We know what's up. But I love listening to all of them. I don't judge people. Paul is telling them, you don't even know me. Right. You don't know me. You ascribe it to me something you don't know nothing about. I just killed Christians. But you don't know nothing about that. Because you wasn't around when I was attacking the church over there in the book of Acts, right? They don't know nothing about that. But you over here talking about how awesome I am. But you don't know me. Paul is like, you don't know Peter. You know Peter denied Jesus 3 times, but you follow Peter. So are you a denier like Peter? He's like, you don't know me. And so Paul is telling them, I'm not concerned. I don't mind you telling me this or that, but I'm not concerned about your judgment on me. And Paul says, now, you should view us as people who have been entrusted with the word of God to do his will, to do his word. Amen?
Amen.
Look at us as God called us to do his work. Now, we should be found worthy of the vocation wherewith we have been called. We should walk straight. But I ain't perfect. I got problems. I got into a fight with the man I went on the first missionary journey with. We spent 3 years together. We walked 1,400 miles together. And when he wanted to bring his little cousin, John Mark, again, who ran off on us the first time, I'm like, no, your boy ain't coming. He's like, stop calling my boy boy. It's my new nephew, man. What's up? It's my people. He's like, what, what? And now you read the scriptures, the Bible says there was a sharp contention between them. Division. Between two people who wouldn't evangelize modern day Turkey. Now there's division. So we see in Paul at that time what? Spiritual maturity. He had to grow to a place, because when you read other of his epistles, you'll say, send Mark to me, John Mark. He is profitable to me. He grew up. He matured. He matured. Amen. But when he was spiritually immature, he'd fight. I remember that time when they tried to slap Paul. Paul grabbed my man's hand and threw it back at him and said, God gonna slap you, you whitewashed woman. I'm like, oh, Paul, what's up? He's like, I'm sorry, I didn't even know that was the high priest. Really? You was a Pharisee and you forgot what the high priest looked like? Paul had some issues too. He had to grow up. So Paul is seeing a little bit of himself in them. Amen. So Paul is saying, look, I don't even judge myself. I leave that to the Lord up above me. And we shouldn't be judging nothing till Jesus comes. Some people judge me as going straight to hell. Why? Because they saw me on Sally S. selling dope. He going straight to hell. You ruin your families. Christians, my friends, who knew I sold dope, bought dope from me. Cliff, when they would go to church, they go on the other side of the street. I'm like, oh, when you get home, though, you're going to want to sack. Amen. Christians were nothing but fake hypocrites to me. Because you over here on the other side of the street with your little church suit, you know, okay? And you ain't even looking at me. I'm like, son. Your mama tells you not to hang out with people like me.
Right.
Amen. But as soon as you go home and get your little church suit off, You're like, geez, let me get a sack from you. I'm like, this morning I was Jesus, but you ain't know me. So Paul is saying, look, you don't know me. You don't know me. Amen. And we don't know each other. If Jesus came in here and said, let me tell you something about it. Amen. We'd be like, oh, no, Jesus, no, Jesus. I thought that was between us. No. Oh, Jesus. No, these people think I'm the holiest man on earth. And you tell them that, they're going to be like, he ain't holy. So Paul is saying, don't describe to me things you don't know nothing about. He is not saying he's a despot. But what he is saying is, you don't know me. And what you see in me is Jesus working through me. You know, me and Deacon Tate like to talk about this line out of one of Lecrae's tunes. He said, if you see me giving out money so folks can eat, it's really God working through me, dog. I ain't that sweet. Amen. And we need to get with that and stop being so divided because the person we put up on this pedestal that fell off. Amen. And now we are tripping. I'm like, okay, am I going to spirit? I'm like, I don't want to spirit. We're like the champion out of that. Amen. Okay, I'm the only one. People have been talking out of heaven. I'm not even here. Looking at me like, I'm out of here. Y'all got ghosts up in here. Y'all got ghosts up in here. I'm in here. So Paul tells them, wait till Jesus comes. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, it says, we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, wait a minute. That means we ain't got no judgment seat. Then why we keep sitting in judgment on people? Why we keep doing that? I mean, seriously, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, all of us would go straight to hell. We'd be coming in there like meteors falling out the sky. Amen. We'd be flaming in the hell. But because of Jesus, here we are. And it's as simple as that. Amen. Every time I see people, and I see people sometimes, I say, Jesus, what is it in Demetrius? What is it about her that when you was in that garden like Jonathan talks about coming out because those vessels that's close to the top started bursting? Have you ever been that anxious? So I asked Jesus, what was it in that garden about Demetrius when you looked at her and her whole life as from beginning to end and you saw it? And the question came, will you go to the cross? And you said, not my will, but thy will be done. Yeah. That's why I look at people. Oh, if I want to see crap in people, just stand around for 5 minutes and come out. Because out of the abundance of the heart, what? We can't have it. We can't have it. It's our heart's going to betray us. And we just keep running that mouth sooner or later. Amen. It's coming out. Amen. Amen. But I try to look for, Nico, I try to look for why Jesus died for this person. Look past all of what you can see and see what he saw. What did Jesus see in Cliff to make him say, I'll go to the cross. I let them hang there from the 6th and 9th hour. I let them stab me. I let them ridicule me so I can have Cliff. He's worth that. So I can't, when I look at people, Mel, when I look at people, I see what Jesus, I want to see what he sees. I want to see the value of the person that cost him his life. I mean, you know how much we cost Mary? We cost the life of Jesus. How much is that worth in money? That's how much you worth. That's how much we're worth. And we gonna judge each other? One time I was judging me. Amen, real harsh, real harsh. I was going off on him. Thought Jesus was going to be pleased with that. He was not pleased. He told me to shut up. And if you ever ridicule somebody like that again that I died for, if you ever make light of my death on the cross again like that, we're going to have trouble. I said, said, but Jesus, I'm talking about me. Like, yeah, well, I died for you. Uh-uh. Are you saying my death for you was worthless?
No.
Like, Jesus, this ain't feeling right. Yeah. You're supposed to be pleased that I'm trashing me. He said, I died for you. I got hopes for you. I got plans for you. See, you're looking at who you are right now. You don't know the plans in here. You don't see you in Revelation chapter 4 when you're standing around God's throne and you're robed in my righteousness and you got a crown on your head because Jesus said we're going to be judged for everything we do, right? But we go there to receive for the deeds done in this body, whether good or bad. So I make it my business to stay out of judging people. That's Jesus' job. I ain't got to judge Lisa. Jesus is doing that. Plus, he know why Lisa act like Lisa did.
Yes.
I don't know. We often wonder, why would they do something like that? We don't know. And even though we don't know why they would do something like that, we ascribe the punishment to them. They need to go to hell. All of them. That's what people thought about me. But they didn't see 1975. They didn't see that late fall, early winter, when Jesus called me. They didn't see that. All they saw was right now. Jesus knew he was calling me in. Amen.
Yes.
So Paul said, leave judgment alone. Let Jesus do that. And I'm going to close with this. He cracked me up. Because apparently, there's some other teachers, we're going to get into that. There's some other people filling their ears up with stuff. Because they're into a whole lot of behaviors that Paul did not teach them in Acts chapter 18. He stayed there for a year and a half. Okay? And then Apollos in Acts chapter 19 went there and stayed a long time. So they got a lot of teaching. But somebody apparently has crept up in that church. And they're teaching something opposite. And that's what they're getting into. That's what they're feeding into. And Paul has recognized that. He says, why are you acting like because you got the gift to discern spirits, like you all that? Why are you acting like because you have the power? You remember, I think it was somebody asked in Janice class. She's teaching in Matthew 17, on the Mount of Transfiguration. And when they came down the mountain, here come Homeo with his son, and his son tore up from the floor. He threw himself in the fire. He tried to drown himself, just tried to kill himself. Demons be driving him nuts. And he says, I brought him to your disciples. Now remember this, Jesus has sent them out twice, once to 70 and once to 12 on two missions, and they came back bragging, talking about even the demons were subject to us. But all of a sudden, this demon ain't coming out. And so they sneak to Jesus, that's how I do. Amen. After Janice class, I'll sneak to Jesus. After Jewel class, I'll sneak to Jesus and ask him a question. Somebody didn't get in the class. And he liked that. He don't mind. Amen. His disciples did it all the time. That's where I got that from. So they said to Jesus, why you couldn't cast him out? And Jesus is so nice. He's so kind. He don't want to hurt your feelings. He said, well, this one comes out by much prayer and fasting and prayer. In other words, he told them, y'all motives for doing it has switched from what it was before. Before you were operating out of faith, now you're operating out of something else. It ain't about me, it's about you. Because if it worked then, it should work now. I think you're trying to self-aggrandize a little bit. And that's why it's not working. So Paul says to them, why are you acting like this gift you got in preaching, this gift you got in teaching, this gift you got in singing, or whatever gift Jesus has given you, why are you acting like you put that in yourself and it ain't something God gave you? When we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to see that the Holy Spirit gives liberally to everybody who is baptized into the body of Christ. He gives them gifts, certain enablements, so that they can play their part in the body of Christ. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is going to teach us how to deal with how stupid division is. Imagine if your body was divided against itself. Your mind say, wake up, and your eyes like, I ain't no. Your body say, your mind say, stand up, but your legs like, please, hold on. Thank you, God. Amen.
Amen.
Ooh, Jesus. Imagine that. Your body suddenly dividing itself against itself. And starting, there are certain diseases where the body attacks itself. Amen. I know this girl on Facebook, and she has lupus. And I've been counseling her since 08. Lupus is a horrible disease. It's a painful, horrible disease. And she got it bad. And she's been suffering with it for a long time. But you know, she understands her disease. And she understands Jesus didn't do it. And she doesn't complain. Thank you. She doesn't complain to Jesus. What she does is ask Jesus for comfort. And when he gives it to her, she comes straight on Facebook to say, I had a good day. I ain't had no pain today. I ain't threw up today. I ain't feel like shooting myself today. I had a good day. And then when she had a bad day, she comes straight to Facebook to say, I need y'all to pray for me. I'm having a bad day. This is horrible. Lupus, I hate lupus. Okay? Amen. But she trusts Jesus every single day, no matter what. No matter what.
Amen.
So Paul is saying to the Corinthians, and I ain't even gonna quit. Amen. Get out of division. Don't be divided against yourself. And don't let the devil divide you against especially somebody else in the body of Christ.
Amen.
That is your body dividing itself against itself. I need you. You need me. We're all a part of
God's family.
Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for citing how immaturity leads to all kinds of behaviors that stifle us from moving forward. Jesus, you're working on us and trying to turn us into who we're going to be forever. But the devil is using the things that were in us, alive in us before we got saved, in an attempt to destroy us. Help us, Lord, to feed on your word. Help us to study to show ourselves approved so we can become workmen who don't need to be ashamed, but those who can, in fact, rightly divide the word of truth. Help us, Lord, to do what it says over there in Ephesians chapter 4 and in 2 Peter chapter 1, to grow up so that we become mature in every way like Christ.
Yes.
So that we are no longer tossed and driven by every word of scripture and doctrine and people with their scheme and funny ideas trying to trick us. But in love, together, as a body of Christ, we become strong and become that bright light in the world. Become that salt of the earth that you said we are. Help us, Jesus, every day to be who we are. In your name we ask you. Plant this word in your feet so it can live out in their life. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Excited. All right, y'all. Glad to be here. Glad to go on to tell some other folks be back. Let us receive our benediction. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with you all. All God's people say.
Amen.